I'll start again. So about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Miro spoke about honor and honoring your pastors. And we really felt we wanted to continue that theme of honor, but in all the different contexts. Because the Bible talks about honor a lot. Honor is very important to God. And we've actually made it one of the values of this church. I say we made it. It's what we felt God give us should be one of the values of this church. That we should be a church that is constantly seeking more of God in all the different aspects of that. That's including searching for him through the Bible and through through an encounter with him and through prayer and all these different things. But the second one was mutually honoring. We want to be a church that is mutually honoring, so that that love of God will flow through us, will shine through us, and how we treat each other. And then the third was extravagantly blessing, and it's something we'll talk about a lot more as we move into spring. But mutually honoring is something that we want to make a key part of this church. And there's so many different aspects to honor. So we just want to talk, really, about today. We're going to talk about honor within the family. I thought it would be a great topic since it's Mother's Day to talk about honoring within the family. And the Bible's actually got a lot to say on this subject. Next week or the week after, we'll talk about honor within marriage. The Bible talks about not just the man and the wife honoring each other, but everybody honoring marriage. And also honoring those in authority over us, honoring our leaders, our bosses, those in government. And sometimes that's difficult to do. But Paul instructs people in the worst of circumstances to do that. So we want to look at all those different aspects of honor and how, because honor is not just an attitude. It's no use saying we honor somebody. It's got to be an attitude backed up by an action. It's got to be lived out. If we say we honor somebody, we've got to live it out. Now, I looked up what honor meant in the original words, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek. And it was very similar. Honor means to give weight to give weight to somebody. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, I don't want any more weight. Thank you very much. I've got plenty of my own. I was only joking this morning with some that I was ill for 2 months. I haven't been able to do any exercise. And for some reason, my clothes have got tighter over that period. And it's affecting my worship because I can only get to there. You know, I can do one-handed up there, but I can't do two. But it means to give weight to somebody. It means to lift them up. It means to hold them up and to value them. And so, because it's Mother's Day, let's talk about honor within the family, honoring your parents, but also honor within family in general. Because it also applies to our spiritual family as well. We're in the church, we are a family. We're a family of people, and there's got to be honor amongst us all. So I want to look at what the Bible says about that. And we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. And Paul's got some strong words to say about honor. Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, now I want you to listen especially hard to this, Jessica and Noah, if he's listening. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. She's looking at me, so, Dad. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's the first commandment that's given with a promise. And the promise is this: so it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. It doesn't say how if you don't honor your parents, how your life will be shortened, but I'm sure some mothers and fathers can arrange that. But also there's another side to that. Paul goes on to say, and fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So we'll talk about that from both sides of the perspective. It's not just to children to honor their parents. It's also for parents not to exasperate, not to be overly burdensome upon children. And so we'll look at, I can see some amens at the front to that. So we'll look at both sides of that. Paul actually goes on to talk about, in the next few verses, about slaves. And he talks about slaves and masters. And because it was so, within the household, they were counted as family. And Paul is not in any way giving credence or to slavery. In fact, he argues for their equal treatment. He lifts slaves up. And it was a concept that was unheard of in the time. But Paul is talking about the whole family unit. Everybody who lives under one roof. And the Bible is very strict. When it comes to honoring your parents, the Bible is very, very strict. It's repeated time and time again. It's the most often repeated command to honor somebody is to honor your parents. It's no point honoring anybody else unless you honor your parents. It's one of the Ten Commandments. You know, in when it came to giving that law, and there were 613 laws or there or thereabouts, but 10 of them made it into this special selection called the Ten Commandments that were especially important. And this was one of them. Honor your mother and your father. It was one of the foundations of the Jewish nation. The command was so important that failing to meet that command, if you struck your mother or your father, you know what the punishment was? Death penalty, yeah. Whew. And you thought your mum was tough, eh? You see, it's so important to God that we honor. It applies to all those living under the roof of the house, whatever age. And it can be applied to the church as well. When Jesus was ministering and was told that his family was outside, he replied by saying these words. It's in Matthew 12, verses 48 to 50. He replied to them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." You see, Jesus calls those who obey the Father in heaven his family. And by saying that, he wasn't saying now they've now replaced your physical parents, so you don't need to honor them anymore. You know, it's not a replacement theology here of any sort. It is simply the fact that Jesus was including his family, spiritual family, all those that followed, that lived under the Heavenly Father. It's irrespective of age. It's our parent. We can have spiritual parents that are not much older than us. You know, there's a few people that we consider spiritual parents, and they're only actually 5 or 6 years older than us. But they've been given a spiritual maturity and an ability to lead and an ability to input and invest into our lives. And that same honor should be shown to spiritual parents as well. But God doesn't want us to honor our parents out of fear. In fact, if it's out of fear, then it's not truly honoring. You know, He wants us to honor our parents, and he gives a promise with that. It's the first command with a promise. I just want to repeat that again. It's the first command that God ever gives that's got a promise attached to it. Our parents are our first leaders. You know, for some people who didn't have parents at home, that may be a foster parent or a big brother. Either way, they're the people that are the first authority in our lives. And the Bible doesn't distinguish, when it says this, between loving parents and the not-so-good parents, the harsh or demanding parents. You see, if we give honor, irrespective of whether they deserve it, it forms us. It changes us. Honor is not about whether they've done something right. Honor is not about them getting everything right as a parent. It's about our attitude backed up by our actions. And if we show honor, it forms us. There are times, you know, when a parent has been abusive, when it's physically, sexually, emotionally, then it is important to ask for help. And if you're in that situation, it's not dishonoring to tell somebody and ask for help. That is not dishonoring at all. But irrespective of what our parents are like, we do need to honor. The Bible is very clear about that. So how do we honor our parents? Well, first of all, we honor our parents in the words that we use, by not grumbling against them. You know, often the way we speak to and about people displays whether we honor them or not. We can say we honor because, you know, we do what they say eventually, after we've had a tantrum. But the way we speak about them, the way we grumble, the way we gossip, doesn't show them honor. The story in the Old Testament of Noah and his son, Ham. And Noah was the one, actually, who'd got himself in a drunken state and was lying naked in the tent, and his son Ham walks in on him. And he sees his father in this state. And instead of maybe covering his father up and speaking to him the next day about it, what does he do? He says he goes out and tells his brothers. He gossips about his father's state to his brothers, and as a result of that, he gets a curse upon his life. He went out and dishonored his father by talking about him. Paul, in the New Testament, he was talking to his young mentor, Timothy, showed that the same principle also applies. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1. It says, verses 1 and 2, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he was your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity." You see, it's a New Testament and an Old Testament principle to show that honor, to lift others up. Our physical and our spiritual parents should be lifted up and honored. Noah could have gone about treating his father's... Ham could have got about sorting out his father differently. You see, Noah had messed up. He had. And so it was right that Ham did something about it, but he went about it in the wrong way. He could have covered him up. He could have gone to him the next morning and said, "Father, what's happening? I saw you last night in that state. It wasn't right, Father." He could have gone about it a different way. But he chose to dishonor. He used his mouth to dishonor, gossiping, complaining, speaking harshly with an attitude of disrespect. Instead of doing those things, we're told to honor. And it's same for our physical and our spiritual families. So we honor our parents in the way that we speak about them. We honor our parents in the way that we obey them. And the Greek word for obey, it's got a military feel to it. It's the idea of a soldier on the front line awaiting instructions. Now, I've never been in the military, but I have been a police officer in some dangerous situations. And I had to go through some very strict training to deal with riots and all those sorts of things. And there were very violent situations. And in those situations, I had to be ready to march, to stand to attention, to hold my ground, depending on the instructions that I heard. I had to listen out to my sergeant or inspector or superintendent to his instruction. And sometimes, in a crowd that was full of hustle and bustle, where people are shouting at you, people are throwing bricks at you, people are throwing stones, they're even throwing petrol bombs at you, you've got to listen out to instruction. And I've actually been in some riots, and you're listening out for the instruction of the commander, whoever's leading that, for what to do next. Because you know how important it is. You're not simply passively responding to instructions, if they make them clear enough, maybe then I'll listen. You're actively listening for instructions. That is the sort of feel that this word has when it comes to obeying your parents. God wants us to actively obey our parents. You know, as a child, and I'm sure most children can do, if you knew you were doing something that you didn't think your parents would approve of, you did it secretly. And if they ever found out, you said, "Oh, I didn't know." Is it just me who does that? Or does anybody else do that? "Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I didn't know you wouldn't approve. I mean, I didn't ask purposely, but hey." God wants us to actively seek the will of our parents, spiritual or physical. There are times when you have to disobey. You know, especially if you've got unsaved parents, there are times when you have to disobey. I know in Slovakia, when we were pastoring the churches there, we had some people whose parents told them not to go to church, and they disobeyed them. There were times when they had to disobey in order to obey God the Father. But in most cases, it's the exception. The thing is about this, that God wants to bless us. And the reason he gives this instruction is not because he wants us to be in a situation where we're under some sort of oppression by our parents. It's not that at all. God wants to bless us. He wants to live fulfilling lives as we serve him. And this comes, first of all, by learning to obey our parents. We can't learn to obey our Heavenly Father unless we learn to obey our physical and spiritual parents. I'll say that again because I think that's important. We can't say we're learning to obey our Heavenly Father unless we're willing to submit to our spiritual and physical parents. You know, my parents always said that if I'd been the first, I would have been the last. I used to love to climb anything. My mum would always say to me, if you fall out of that tree and break both your legs, don't come running back to me. Which I thought was quite ironic, really. But when I became a Christian at the age of 15, I had a very steep learning curve in terms of learning to honor and obey my parents. But I tell you what, it's helped me through life. That learning curve has helped me when it comes to obeying my Heavenly Father. And I've got a great relationship with my parents. But I had to learn, especially when I became a Christian at the age of 15, I had to learn to submit. You know, I always wanted to fight with my brother. I wanted to argue. I wanted to state my case. But I had to learn just simply to submit. But it's done me good. I want to switch it now. Because honor should be a two-way thing. See, children honor their parents by obeying them, by speaking well of them. But we should also honor each other, Romans 12, verse 10. And so there's a responsibility on the parents as well in how they treat their children, to treat their children honorably. Paul in verse 4 says, "Fathers," and I believe it can also apply to mothers, you haven't got out of it, "don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord." The word fathers can also mean parents. It's often used interchangeably. But it's really for, especially for those that rule the household, not to rule with a dictatorial spirit. In Colossians 31, verse 21, it says this, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." You know, as parents, spiritual and physical, we have an amazing privilege. We do. It's a responsibility and a privilege at the same time. We have to bring up our children and instruction in the Lord. Our children needs to be our first ministry. I was told that by some very wise leaders when we went into ministry, as a family going into ministry, that they said very clearly, your children are your first ministry. Your family is your first ministry. Before you minister in the church, before you minister anywhere else, that's got to be your first ministry. Before you can serve anybody else, you must learn to serve your family. It needs to be a priority within us. You see, so many great leaders, and I'm not just talking recently, Bible leaders, served God incredibly, but failed in this one aspect. Joshua, he was a man who led Israel after Moses died. He was an incredible leader. An incredible leader. Probably he not only reached the same levels as his mentor Moses, but he probably exceeded them in some ways. He was an incredible leader. But his passion for God didn't extend to ministering properly to his children. In Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, worship beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors, your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And he starts off really well there. He declares that he's going to serve the Lord. And he did. But when he goes, his ministry goes. He didn't pass it on spiritually or physically. He's just one, but actually there's people, even better examples in there. Eli was a high priest who ruled Israel for about 1,000 years before Christ. He served faithfully, but he didn't raise up his children. Samuel, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, amazing man of God, but failed in his ministries to his children. David, one of the greatest kings and men of God, but again failed in his most important ministry. There's so many ways in which, if they can fail, then in some ways we need to take courage in that, but also warning in that. You know, we don't have to feel condemned if our children are away from God. We need to pray for them, and God's a gracious God. And he can cover our failings. And even if you have been in that situation, and you feel like a David, or you feel like a Samuel, or Eli, then God's grace can cover that. There's still time for your children. Some of the ways we can discourage children, and these are just a few, but some of the most common ways, is by being absent. You know, many parents are absent from their kids when they're needed most. And we can't hope to form a child unless we are willing to invest time and energy into them. And as ministers, we have to be very careful about this. And sometimes we get it wrong, because even though we're there physically for them, sometimes we are absent. Sometimes we can be sitting next to them all day on the computer preparing things. And we're there physically, but sometimes absent emotionally. And every parent faces spending quality time with children in ways that they can appreciate. It's not just ways that we feel are right, but in ways that they can appreciate is one way of ensuring a child doesn't become discouraged. You see, absence isn't just a physical thing. It's emotional too. sometimes parents can provide a lot but never really share the emotional needs of their children. They're not people that their children can talk to. They can't express love in a way that can be felt by the child. They're at home but always doing something else. And children can grow up feeling unloved, unwelcome, unaccepted. And sometimes they can enter into bad relationships because they're looking for what perhaps they should have got at home. Absent parents. Indulgent parents. That's a second mistake. You know, parents that give their children everything they want. And there's many reasons why parents do this. It sometimes can be out of guilt. It can sometimes be because they know they're more absent than they should be, and so try and make up for it in giving the child everything that they want. And it can be in order to try and win their child's affection. If there's two parents that are having difficulties, sometimes they can try and indulge their child to gain their child's affection. But actually, it's a destructive thing to do. It can be a fear of confrontation. But whichever way, it can actually be destructive to the child. Because when the child can't get their own way, destructive behaviors can start to come out because they've been growing up, they've grown up thinking they have a right to everything they want. Third way, constant criticism. Some parents love putting their child down, or in fact they don't love doing it, but they do it anyway. They're constantly criticizing their child. Very quick to point out the negative, use sarcasm and insults to bring a child down. And sometimes it's even sick theology. I know some pastors that are scared of their children becoming proud, and so spend more time criticizing them than lifting them up. But it's sick theology. A child needs to be affirmed. Of course, they need to be reprimanded as well when they're naughty. It's all part of the discipline process. But and the overriding feeling from a child should be that relationship is important, that they're affirmed and accepted. See, if not, they can try and gain that affection in other ways. I know one Christian woman, and she's in the ministry now. But she got a pastor as a father, a godly man, a really godly man. But he got that theology as well, that he was scared of his children becoming proud, and so would never say anything. He would never tell his daughter that she was beautiful, never say anything like that. And as a teenager, 14 or 15 year old, she ended up being in a relationship with a much older man that showed her the love that she was after her father. An unhealthy relationship. Constant criticism. The fourth, aggression. You know, some parents try and get their children to obey them out of fear, especially when the child is young. And they want to see the behavior patterns that they want to see in them. But now, I'm not talking about not disciplining your children. I believe children should be disciplined. But not to rule your child by fear. It becomes a cause for a child to become resentful and angry. The child can close up emotionally and hide their thoughts and feelings. And bitterness can come out in destructive ways when they're older. Now, these are just some of the methods that parents can dishonor or raise up their child in a dishonorable way. But you know, I believe the Bible clearly teaches that there's times for discipline. There are times when we should discipline, but it should be done in an assertive way, not out of fear. That's not how God parents us, without using aggression or manipulation, but by valuing them, by affirming the child. And primarily, as parents, the Bible makes it very clear, that we need to lead by example. If we want honor from our children and we grumble against those in authority, what are we saying to our children? If we want honor and respect from our children and we don't show honor and respect to other people, then what does that show our children? We need to be parents that lead by example, who follow Christ and model his behavior. Now, what I'm saying might sound quite strong, and as a parent and as a child of a parent, I'm speaking to myself when I say all of these things. But I believe they're important, and I believe they're important for us to speak about in church. The aspect of honoring our parents and bringing up our children in an honorable way as well. I believe it's both true physically and it's true spiritually. And I'd like to finish this meeting off with prayer. We're just going to spend 3 or 4 minutes, and I'd like you to, I'm not going to ask you to go in groups because the introverts in here would panic if I do that. But I'd like you just to stand up, and I just want you to spend a few minutes, we're just going to have a few minutes in prayer for first of all, for our spiritual parents. Now, you may feel I haven't got any left now. But let's thanking God for your spiritual parents. So can we just, we're just going to do it one at a time. So if we can just stand up together. Let's just spend just a few moments just thanking God for our spiritual parents. Just blessing them, praying over them, blessing. Whether you feel they've made mistakes or not in the past, don't. Just praise God for them. Thank God for them. Thank God for those that invested into your life spiritually. Just pray a blessing over their life now. Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you and we honor those that have invested into us, Lord. We lift them up, Lord God, and ask, Lord, that you will bless them, Lord. That you will uphold their name. Lord, forgive us for the time when we've disrespected them and the way we've grumbled and the way that we've complained. Lord, and maybe in ways where we've used our tongues loosely. Lord, when we've purposely gone against them, Lord, forgive us. We honor them. We lift them up, Lord. Let's just spend a few minutes lifting up physical parents, thanking God for them. They may or may not be alive for some of you. Just thank God for them. Even if you know they've messed up a number of times, just thank them for what they, the good things that they inputted. Let's just honor them. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for those that gave us life, Lord. We thank you for the investments, Lord God. We ask for you to forgive them for when they did mess up as parents, Lord God. And we forgive them for when they did mess up as parents, Lord. But Lord, and we just thank you for what they did invest into us. Lord God, we thank you for them. We thank you for them because we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for them, Lord. Lord, maybe for those that acted as parents when our physical parents weren't there, Lord, we say thank you for them. Thank you for those that raised us and brought us up, Lord. Thank you. Let's pray for children. You may not have children, so you may be praying into the future here. Maybe you've got children and you know as a parent that you've messed up. God's grace is able to cover that. God's grace is able to cover that. But let's just pray for them together and to honor them. Lord, I thank you for every one of us who's a parent in this room, Lord, spiritually or physically. Lord God, you know we're not perfect and we've messed up, Lord. Lord, and Lord, forgive us for that. Lord, and we just pray, Lord, I pray for those in this room, Lord, that have got children that have gone away from you. I pray that they'll come back, Lord. Lord God, I pray for parents in this room that live with guilt because they know, Lord, there's been times when they didn't parent as good as they can, Lord. Lord, I just pray you'll show them that they're forgiven. Lord, that your grace is able to cover them. That maybe the hurt that's been caused, Lord God, has been used for good in the life of their child, Lord. Lord, because you are a graceful God. And we just pray for grace, Lord, upon the children, Lord God, of people in this room, spiritual and physical, Lord. We just pray you'll bless the children, Lord God. You are their ultimate parent. You are their ultimate father, Lord. And we just pray a blessing over children. Lord, help us, those that have got children, to raise them up, Lord God, in a godly way. To look at them, Lord God, like you look upon us, to be father, mothers and fathers. I pray for those that aren't yet parents, Lord. Lord, that you will prepare them, that they'll be ready, Lord, to minister to their children, Lord. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, wow.